So according to the solar date, we're sitting here to remember the holy disappearance day of Srila Brahmananda Prabhu. The actual tithi was on the day of Bhakreshwar Pandit's disappearance day. It was not coming to June 29th. But somehow today's tithi is Chiradahi Utsav. So first we'll speak something about Chiradahi Utsav. Because we know this Raghunath Das Goswami, he had opulence greater than the King of Heaven. He had a wife more beautiful than Apsara. But still these things couldn't bind him to the house. After meeting Mahaprabhu, he was always thinking how to go to Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu wanted to show without Nityananda's mercy, it's not possible to get to Sriman Mahaprabhu. So anyway, Vakeshwar Pandit, Raghunath Das, he heard that Lord Nityananda was visiting Panihati on this very Titi today, Trayadasi day, after Nirjala Kadasi. So he immediately bought up all of the chira and all of the dahi in the market and decided to make a feast. He saw Lord Nityananda was sitting on a raised platform, and somebody pointed out to Nityananda, there's Raghunath Das. And immediately slapped him. He said, "You thief, why are you staying in a faraway place? Today I will punish you. You have to make a festival for all the Vaishnavas." So he bought up all of the chira and all of the dahi in the entire market. And some they mixed with, not with dahi, some they mixed with milk, some they mixed with condensed milk, some they mixed with dahi, some was salty, some was sweet, all different types of chira dahi and chira and condensed milk, all different types were made, and two pots were delivered to everybody. There was so many, everyone heard that Raghunath Das was putting on this festival, that people came from all around. Then he went to the nearby villages and bought up their stock of chira and dahi and condensed milk, and he made even more. Finally, there was no place. People were sitting on the platform with Lord Nityananda. Some were sitting down below. Some were sitting on the banks of the Ganga. Finally, there was no space. People were sitting in the Ganga to relish their chira dahi. And Lord Nityananda, by his meditation, he brought Mahaprabhu there. And he began to wander amongst all of the Vaishnavas, and he was taking some chira dahi from everyone's cup and putting it in Mahaprabhu's mouth. Only very, very fortunate souls, not that everyone could see, because Lord Nityananda brought him by meditation, but only those fortunate souls who realized they could see that Mahaprabhu was, nobody could understand why Nityananda was walking around and laughing, because he would put some from someone's plate, he put in Mahaprabhu's mouth, and Mahaprabhu would put in Lord Nityananda's mouth, and they both were laughing. Nobody could understand. They just saw Lord Nityananda walking here and there and laughing. In this way, Raghunath Das Goswami, he got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So then it was shortly after that that he got the opportunity to join Mahaprabhu. His family priest, what was his name? Raghunath Das family priest came, said that Pujari ran away. I thought this was just ISKCON problem, but this is a universal problem. Pujari's cooks, even temple presidents sometimes run away. What was his name? Do you remember?
What was the name of the priest?
What was the name of Raghunath Das' family priest? He came, he said, no pujari is there. So Raghunath Das, anyway, whatever his name was. Yadunandandatta. All right, Yadunandan Thakur. So Raghunath Das immediately said, yes, yes, I will come there, just wait a few minutes. So he thought this is the perfect opportunity to slip away. So he, on the excuse of going to Yadunandan's house, he ran through the forest. And somehow he made it to Puri and joined Mahaprabhu there, renounced everything, although it was impossible. He was always trying to run away, and his mother told his father that, why don't you bind him with ropes? I said, a beautiful wife and opulence greater than the King of Heaven can't tie him up. What will ordinary rope do? But still he required the mercy of Lord Nityananda. When he got Lord Nityananda's mercy, then immediately opportunity to join Mahaprabhu was there, and he ran off to Puri and remained under the shelter. He asked Mahaprabhu for some direct instruction, and he told him, Balona Kaibo, Balona Paribo, Brahmya Kata Na Sunibe, Brahmya Nata Ne Korebe, or Sada, always, he said, don't eat very nicely, don't dress very nicely. Like we see now, everybody comes in Kartik, they can't wait to get to Lohi Bazaar, see what the latest Vaishnava fashion is. But he said, don't dress nicely, don't eat nicely, don't do village politics, and don't listen to village politics, don't do village politics, and always remember Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And he said, and you stay underneath the shelter of Swarup Damodar. So he was put under the shelter of Swambat Damodar. So by the mercy of this Chiradayi Utsav, pleasing Lord Nityananda, he was able to get the shelter of Sriman Mahaprabhu. Chiradayi Utsav ki! So anyway, on this 7th day of June, 2015, one of the great Maha generals of Srila Prabhupada's Sankirtan army left this world. So you see the beautiful painting that's done from a picture of Srila Prabhupada. I think there's no one who's pictured more with Prabhupada than Brahmananda. Every time on Facebook somebody's putting up some picture of Prabhupada, at least half of them you see Brahmananda's there. And Brahmananda was the, we're all sitting here in this Krishna Balaram Mandir because Brahmananda and Gargamuni, both of them helped Prabhupada so much in the beginning of their movement in 2nd Avenue, 26 2nd Avenue. They were completely surrendered and established the center, 26 2nd Avenue. You can see, there's so many videos, you can see Brahmananda said, now we'll go out and spread the chanting of the holy name in the streets. And they walk out, they have some type of a funny drum. There's no mridangas in those days. They have a funny drum, they're walking in the Lower East Side. Later, of course, Brahmananda, he went to Africa just to show you how surrendered he was. Nobody wanted to go to Africa. Gopal will tell the story how Prabhupada said, we want someone to go to Africa. And he thought, well, I better let the senior devotees speak up first. And everybody just sort of tried to hide his face behind the person in front of him. And he thought, Prabhupada's asking for someone to go to Africa, why not, you know? So, Singapore, all right, Singapore. Anyway, Singapore, so they didn't even want to go to Singapore, what to speak about, darkest Africa. But Brahmananda went there, he preached. I was just there in January. that first place, one of the first places Prabhupada went is Mombasa. They just, in January, they celebrated the inauguration day of a beautiful temple just about one block from one of the most beautiful beaches in the world, and one of the places, the most wonderful weather in the world. The beautiful temple there. This is one of the first places that Brahmananda went, Mombasa, and in Nairobi also they have a very large Radha Banki Bihari temple. And now all around they've bought up all the property around. They have hostel for the students to stay. I think it's called Gopal Dham or I can't remember now. But they have a hostel for students to stay. They have a beautiful temple. They have a rental property for people to stay near the temple. All this is due to the, all this success is due to the hard labor of Brahman, especially Brahmananda and Garga Muni both. Even they went to Pakistan. And that was a great shock, because just then the Pakistan war broke out. And somehow somebody put in the newspaper that some foreigner sadhus were killed. And of course, war was going on, so the communications, in those days there wasn't cell phones and all these things. And now it's amazing. When I first came to India, I wanted to call Delhi. And you have to, it's not that you just pick up the phone, or you pull it out of your pocket and you just boop. You had to book a call. And if it's anybody who remembers that, you know, you call the operator, you dial the operator first. I said, I want to book a call to this and such number. And then something, they said something in a very thick Indian accent that I had no idea. Ordinary origin or lightning? I said, what? Ordinary origin or lightning? Anybody understood? Ordinary, urgent, or lightning? Ordinary, urgent, or lightning? Ordinary call meant maybe after 5 or 6 hours, maybe after 5 or 6 days, you never knew. They'll call you back and say they're ready to make the call. Urgent was maybe in a couple of hours, and lightning was maybe in an hour, so they, it wasn't like now, you just whip out your, anywhere in the world, you just whip out your phone and beep, 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 you call Delhi. So it took me, finally it was easier just to take a taxi to Delhi than to call. So anyway, they were in very, very difficult circumstance. So anyway, that time it was war, so the communications were even worse. And there was no way to call anybody in Pakistan. They had no way to know what was happening. Prabhupada was so upset, but somehow it was just a false rumor. Anyhow, Brahmananda and Garga Muni, they got out of Pakistan, they got a flight to Bombay, they came to Bombay, and Prabhupada just embraced him and did his Abhishek with his tears, like that. So he was always completely, those places, nobody, those services, nobody wanted to do. Brahmananda was ready to do, just completely surrendered. Just like in the beginning, somebody from Macmillan Company ordered the Happening album. So when they told Prabhupada, Prabhupada told Brahmananda, you personally deliver the record and bring the manuscript for my Bhagavad Gita. And he thought, just somebody working there, you know, it's not even an executive. How will it be possible that he... So anyway, but he was surrendered. He went downtown, he found the address, he went there. The guy was just a little clerk. He had nothing to do with deciding what to print or not to print. But just so happened, one of the executives walked into the room. And Brahmananda very boldly, we were hearing yesterday about how humbleness doesn't mean, you know, like this. Humbleness means that I'm completely surrendered. I give up my false ego and I'm ready to carry out the order of Krishna. So immediately Brahmananda said, I have a manuscript of Bhagavad Gita. You have a manuscript of Bhagavad Gita? We're doing an Eastern literature series and we're very much in need of a manuscript of Bhagavad Gita. You bring it tomorrow and show me. And that's how the first little, I don't know if anybody remembers, like bluish, purplish, that's how I became a devotee. People make a big deal about editing, but somehow or other that was so edited. I mean, now the Bhagavad we have is more than 1,000 pages. That was like only 400 pages, less than half. But still, we all became devotees. And by reading this completely chopped up down to from 1,100 pages to 400 pages, and we all became devotees with that book. So that's all due to Brahmananda. Anyway, there's many other wonderful Vaishnavas here to speak. So we just want to pray that we can get that same determination, that same surrender of Brahmananda Prabhu, and try to carry out Prabhupada's mission and push on Prabhupada's mission. Jila Brahmananda Prabhu ki!
So as Dinabandhu Prabhu was telling us these nice leelas of Brahmananda, in the early days of ISKCON, the hub of our society was New York. Of course, we know this is where Srila Prabhupada began everything. And Sri Sri Gaur-Nitai, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundara Lata Devi Shakya Devi. So in these early days, through Srila Prabhupada's perseverance and determination to fulfill the orders of his Guru Maharaj, a few boys began to come to listen to Srila Prabhupada speak. And one of these boys was Brahmananda Prabhu. So, as I said, the hub of ISKCON was in New York. And in other parts of the country, slowly, Lord Chaitanya's mission was beginning to manifest itself. So for me, I joined ISKCON in Seattle, Washington. And at that time, there was only 7 Hare Krishna temples. And we didn't have any books at that time. The only book we had was the book that Srila Prabhupada had printed here in India and brought with him to the United States. But Srila Prabhupada's publication of Back to Godhead began. Articles were written by Srila Prabhupada and also some of his disciples, mostly those from New York or sometimes Boston temple, such as that. But for myself and I'm sure others who were coming and we were stationed in these more desolated areas of the United States, we always looked to New York because they had the most devotees. So when you see the early Back to Godheads, it's always showing the devotees in New York chanting on the streets, in the parks, and always in the forefront was this big, young brahmachari. And of course that's Brahmananda. And his service to Srila Prabhupada was well known anywhere that devotees had assembled. And like myself, everyone looked up to Brahmananda as an older brother. So now age is a little bit more irrelevant, but in those very early days, if a devotee was 2 years older than you, simply by birth, he was old, because if you were 17 or 18 and someone was 19 or 20, you know, that seemed quite old. But for me as a young devotee, I always looked to New York, and I would see these pictures of Brahmananda and hear how he was always so determined to serve Srila Prabhupada. And Dinabandhu Prabhu told a nice story about how we got the first copy of Bhagavad Gita from Macmillan Company, a little pinkish-blue colored book with a statuette of Vishnu on the front, and how he boldly went in to probably at that time the biggest printing company in the world, and just as a young boy, because he had been given the instructions to do such a thing, didn't let his age or immaturity interfere. He boldly went in, and immediately there was reciprocation, and we got our first Bhagavad Gita. So for me to physically meet a Brahmananda was in 1970. At that time, our farm community in West Virginia was just beginning, and we were celebrating Janmashtami. And from Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada had made a group of boys sannyasis and sent them out to preach. And one of those boys who had become one of our earliest sannyasis was Brahmananda, at that time Brahmananda Maharaj. And he came to West Virginia along with four other sannyasis. And true to life, I was able to visually see Brahmananda, how big he was. Now, I'm a small man, and compared to Brahmananda, he was a giant, always big. Big in stature and big in his determination to serve Srila Prabhupada. So, as I said, he was a role model for so many devotees. And even today, people look back and they see the magnitude of service that he was willing to endure just to do something to please Srila Prabhupada. So the big separation point for me and Brahmananda Prabhu was always logistics. As I was saying, ISKCON was a fledgling society, and so devotees were asked to go to different places in order to expand Lord Chaitanya's movement. And as Dinabandhu Prabhu was saying, today we have cell phones and internet, and everything is at a touch of a finger, you can communicate with anyone in the entire world. But at this time, we didn't even have cassette recorders. There was no such thing as a cassette recorder. Who remembers cassette recorders? All you young people, what is a cassette recorder? You know, so who knows what cassette recorder? So recording devices were all done by reel to reel, and any type of communication was done over the telephone, and it was a very difficult process. But in 1970, Srila Prabhupada had selected a group of devotees to accompany him back here to India for beginning the expansion of his movement here in India. And so, due to these logistics, we were separated without means of communication with all of the other devotees in the United States. So you lose contact with what is going on in different parts of the world. But as the success of the devotees here in India became more apparent to devotees in the United States, devotees were beginning to come to India to join Srila Prabhupada and the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And Brahmananda was one of these devotees. He had come to India. And you could see by how warm Srila Prabhupada was, maybe more so to Brahmananda than any other devotee. Although Prabhupada loved us all as sons, but to me it was a visual thing that, you know, this man, this boy, he was a boy at that time, as we all were, was very special. He was a very special boy. And he had won Srila Prabhupada's love. And this incident, again, caused us to become, due to logistics, separated again to increase Srila Prabhupada's mission of preaching. So up until this point, sometimes I would wonder, you know, because the name of ISKCON, what does it mean? International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So I would think, how is this an international society? Of course, we had a temple now in London, and we had three temples in Canada. But other than those, there was no temples. And now we were in India, but still we didn't have any temples. We were still like vagabonds wandering here and there. So I wondered, how is this an international? So my vision wasn't as clear as Srila Prabhupada's. But on this one particular day in 1971, I think it might have been the end of 1970 or 1971, then ISKCON had its birth in the respect that it became an international society. So on this one particular morning in Allahabad, this was at the first Kumbh Mela, Srila Prabhupada was sharing some of the correspondence with devotees in the West, with all of us devotees, because we had no way of knowing what was going on outside of that little circle of devotees in India. And in this one letter, this person had made a statement that in Asia, Singapore would be a good place to begin an ISKCON center. And so when Prabhupada read this, he took off his reading glasses and looked at us like this, and he said, "So who will go?" And he looked at all the devotees, and I was contemplating what Srila Prabhupada was saying, and expecting a response from one of the devotees in the group that was there, someone who was, to me, considered a senior devotee, because my feeling was that if the spiritual master gives you a request, you should immediately respond to it. And because I wanted to give the opportunity to one of the more senior devotees to me, and at that time senior meant that maybe you had been a devotee for 6 months or 8 months more or longer than the devotee sitting next to you. So I waited, and nobody seemed to respond to this request. And so Prabhupada, you could visually see that he was anticipating someone to volunteer. And when no one around me volunteered to go, then I raised my hand and I said, "Prabhupada, I'll go." And then this brought a smile to Srila Prabhupada's face. And he said, "Oh, good, you will leave immediately." So myself, I was thinking, okay, I'll go to Singapore, but you know, we're still traveling. I'll stay with this group and we'll travel here, we'll travel there, and we'll travel there. And it's like Janardhan Maharaj was saying yesterday in his class when he was asked to make a telephone call by Gopal Krishna Swami, that he procrastinated. So I was thinking, oh, somewhere down the line, I'll go. But when Prabhupada said, "Immediately you'll go," then that sort of was an eye-opener. And of course, Prabhupada wanted us to go immediately. But at the same time, other devotees in that crowd of devotees began volunteering to go to different countries. I don't remember exactly, and the devotees' names I don't know, because we were all strangers to each other. But one devotee, I believe, said, "I'll go to Iran." And then maybe another devotee said, "I'll go to Italy." And then someone said, "Maybe I'll go to France, and I'll go here, and I'll go here." And then one by one, these devotees volunteered to go to these foreign countries. And Prabhupada became very happy, and he looked at Brahmananda Prabhu, and he says, "And yes, Brahmananda, you will go to Africa." So unlike today, when you boys go out on preaching excursions, everything is compensated for you. You have a vehicle, you have money for food, you have a place to stay, you have all the facilities that are necessary to enhance your preaching activities. But in those days, just as when Srila Prabhupada came to the United States, the devotees who went out to these faraway places, they went with nothing, with empty pockets, with nothing, not having friends in that country, not sometimes even knowing what language they speak in those countries. But because of the feeling of obligation to make Srila Prabhupada's movement what it is today, these brave young boys and girls, they went to these foreign places. And we know that Brahmananda, just as the other devotees, met with many difficulties, but they put these difficulties behind them and forge forward to serve Srila Prabhupada. So while Brahmananda was in Africa, I was in Malaysia, and another devotee was in Iran or in Italy, and one by one, devotees began to come, and the mission of Lord Chaitanya began to expand, and it began to expand and expand. And what did Lord Chaitanya say? Prativate jite jato nagarari. Every town and village, the holy name will be known and will be chanted. And so, because young men like Brahmananda showed this determination, this is becoming a visible thing today. So, in the early days, as I said, due to logistics, I didn't have a lot of personal association other than brief encounters between preaching missions with Brahmananda. But later, in the last few years of his life, while he was living here in Vrindavan, we had more opportunity to meet with each other and talk and reminisce. And for me, there is nothing more exciting than seeing an old face, someone that you know has been here for many years and has served Srila Prabhupada and has endured so many difficult circumstances to make Srila Prabhupada's movement successful. And that person to me was Brahmananda. He was my role model as a young devotee. And when I had the opportunity to meet with him and we would exchange stories, he has many stories, more than most, about Srila Prabhupada. And myself, I would exchange my stories with him. And we would both relish just hearing about the glories and the wonderful prowess of Srila Prabhupada. But one subject that Brahmananda really enjoyed talking about was food. So, you know, he was big, and as he grew older, he became bigger and bigger and bigger, and he loved to eat, and I loved to cook. And so I would talk to him, and I would explain, oh, today I'm going to make lasagna. And he goes, oh, lasagna? And his eyes would lighten up, and then he says, yes, or I'm going to make samosa. Are you going to make like they make in America with cauliflower and peas, not potatoes? Yes. So in this way, he says, you have to bring me some. So he enjoyed taking prasadam. So he was so nice in that way. And it's on days like this that even after such dedicated servants of Srila Prabhupada have left us, we can remember, just as we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita about the devotees who were so dedicated to Lord Chaitanya. So we can hear about those great souls who have left us and how dedicated they were to Srila Prabhupada. And hopefully they will become an inspiration for us to become more serious in our service. So Sriman Brahmananda Prabhu, you know, he will always have a special place in my heart. And when we see pictures like this of him as a young boy, even this is an older picture. There are pictures of him even much younger than this, you know, with baby face. And how in such a body someone can be so determined to serve Srila Prabhupada. So please remember Brahmananda Prabhu. He can be your model in which you can dedicate yourselves to become a more worthy servant of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Brahmananda Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Brahmananda was the central figure of ISKCON from the very beginning, in the sense that he was the first temple president at our first temple. And in my life, Brahmananda was always there as a key personality, from day one, practically. At that time, it was 1970 that I first met Brahmananda. He was the temple president, not only of 26 Second Avenue, but then when he moved down the street to 61 Second Avenue. So I met him there for the first time, how he set up that temple. And by that time, even from 26 Second Avenue, they were Brahmananda was arranging to send out devotees from that first temple to start other satellite temples all over the East Coast. There was Boston, where he set up the press. There was Washington, where he sent Damodar, the Washington, D.C. temple. There was Philadelphia, where he sent Subal. So we were part of that, these satellite temples. But we would always come to 61 Second Avenue as the meeting place, and Brahmananda would always be there. Then it was July 1970, Srila Prabhupada decided one day, he just made a phone call to the four devotees, Brahmananda and Subal on the East Coast. He told them to come to Los Angeles. He wanted to make them into sannyasis, which was a complete surprise to both Brahmananda and Subal. What Brahmananda understood later was that actually Prabhupada was chastising him, because everyone knew that Prabhupada wanted to spend time writing his books. So Brahmananda, being the excellent manager and leader that he was, tried to take as much managerial responsibility as possible off of Prabhupada's shoulders. But Prabhupada saw it as as taking the movement away from Prabhupada. So Prabhupada decided he was going to leave ISKCON as a result of that. And he decided to leave America also. He called Tamal Krishna Maharaj from Paris and said, take me away from here. So before he left, he made these four sannyasis. It was Vishnujan Swami, Brahmananda, and then because Brahmananda became a sannyasi, his brother Gargamuni also wanted to become a sannyasi, and Subal Swami. And then Prabhupada sent these four out all over America to preach. So the first place they came again was New York, and we all rushed to New York to be with the four sannyasis and had ecstatic kirtan with them. And then from there they came down to Philadelphia, which was our home temple. There were only three of us in the temple, so it was the four sannyasis and the three of us. And we would all go out on sankirtan together with the sannyasis. And I was initiated then, so I ran to them and showed them the letter that Prabhupada sent from Tokyo. So Brahmananda was always there for me in my Krishna consciousness. We then drove with them to the West Virginia New Vrindavan Festival in the same car and listened to their lectures, which were completely over my head, so I missed all of the traumatization that the other devotees went through. And then we came back and they went on to Detroit, and it was then that Prabhupada, actually in the letter that I wrote to Prabhupada to take initiation, I mentioned Brahmananda and the sannyasis. I thank Prabhupada for sending them to the different temples to enliven the devotees. So I was very grateful to Brahmananda from the very beginning of my Krishna consciousness. Then Brahmananda was sent, he was expelled with the other sannyasis from ISKCON, and they had to go preaching on their own individually. But I met up again with Brahmananda here in India, because Prabhupada was always calling Brahmananda to be his secretary. So here in Vrindavan, everything was very intimate at that time. There was no temple at that time. There was only Prabhupada's house. And being Prabhupada's assistant cook to his sister, and Brahmananda living in the little room there, there was no front room. It was just the little room where Brahmananda lived with Bhagavan at the time. So I'd have to cook for Prabhupada and then for Brahmananda and the other servants. So it was a very close family relationship that we had. And we got to spend a lot of time with Prabhupada. Just one little incident. Because we cooked for Prabhupada first, and then Brahmananda, he would eat very simply. He would only have boiled vegetable. So we'd make a big pot of boiled vegetable for him and bring it to his room. And then he would send back what he didn't eat. So one day Prabhupada came to the kitchen and saw this plate of unfinished prasadam there, and he got very annoyed with us. He asked me, "What is this?" I said, "Oh, that was a mistake, Prabhupada. The servant left it there. He was supposed to take it away." He was angry that prasadam was being wasted. So I took that plate around the back to Brahmananda's room to show him that Prabhupada was angry. And in the meantime, Prabhupada came into his main room and came to Brahmananda's room. And Prabhupada and I, we met at the two doors at the same time, myself with the plate, and Brahmananda sitting there. And Prabhupada chastised Brahmananda. He said, "Whatever you have on your plate, you must finish." And then Brahmananda said to Prabhupada, "But I thought that once you burp, you have to stop, Prabhupada." And I burped, so I left the prasadam there. And Prabhupada told him, "No." And this is a huge Brahmananda being chastised by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada told him, "No. Before you begin eating, you look at the plate, and whatever you think you can't finish, you take off of the plate and you put separately. And whatever you have on that plate, you must finish." So that was the type of loving intimacy that was there with Prabhupada as our eternal father, chastising each one of us for the littlest things. So we had so much association here. And then Mayapur, he was still Prabhupada's secretary when Prabhupada gave me all the instructions for book distribution. When he was finished, he said, "Call Brahmananda." He had Brahmananda bring the whole inventory of books that had just arrived from America. He had Brahmananda read the inventory of books to us. And then he said, "Now I want you to clear the stock." So he sent us off to Bombay right away to start. So Brahmananda was there for that. He was there in Calcutta. He was there in Bombay. The day that Prabhupada came back from Mauritius, when Prabhupada had that severe car accident, Brahmananda, of course, was there with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he was in his room. We all came to be with him. Prabhupada showed us his leg where he had been injured. And he said at that time that Brahmananda had saved his life, because Brahmananda had put his arm there to save him from crashing into the seat. Then other places, let's see. The dearest places, of course, were here in Vrindavan. Brahmananda, I won't take too much time, but the most amazing incident for me was after Prabhupada left, it took many years to construct Prabhupada's samadhi. Finally, in 1983, it was from 1977 to 1983 was a construction zone here. And finally, in 1983, they decided to install Prabhupada's murti here, this huge, heavy murti that came from America. And we were having the Mahabhishek here, Srila Prabhupada, here in the courtyard. Everyone had come, as many devotees as possible, to install Srila Prabhupada. And it took 10 men to lift that murti. It was so heavy. And after the Abhishek, because I was taking care of Prabhupada's house then, I was given all the paraphernalia and everything to wash. I had to take it back to Prabhupada's house. I was in Prabhupada's bathroom. And the murti was being taken to the samadhi by these 10 men. And when they got Prabhupada's murti into the samadhi, the murti was so heavy that even the 10 men couldn't lift Prabhupada. But Brahmananda personally got underneath the murti of Prabhupada and lifted him up onto the altar that we're now worshipping Prabhupada on. And there was such a roar at that time, I had never heard anything like it. The devotees just roared in ecstasy when Prabhupada was placed onto his samadhi altar. And I could hear it from there, this amazing roar of ecstasy that can never be experienced again. So I ran from the Prabhupada's house to see what happened and saw Brahmananda there with Prabhupada. And it was just the perfection of Brahmananda's relationship with Prabhupada at that moment. Even in Prabhupada's disappearance, he was right there by Prabhupada's side all the time, just doing anything that had to be done. Brahmananda carried Prabhupada from Bombay into the train. Brahmananda carried Prabhupada out of the train. Everything that could possibly be done on an intimate way, Brahmananda was always there to serve Prabhupada. And even when Prabhupada left, he continued with his service in Africa. He opened up so many centers there, encouraged the devotees. He tried to go to Morocco, all of these hardcore Muslim countries. He wanted to bring trucks there so they could have traveling Sankirtan. He was always meditating on how to carry out Prabhupada's instructions, and he was such an inspiration to each one of the devotees who were, everyone was junior to him. But when we just meditated on Brahmananda and his love for Prabhupada and his dedication to the instructions that Prabhupada gave us, it gave us inspiration to continue even in the most difficult situations, because no one had it as difficult as Brahmananda. He was the first to dance for Prabhupada at Tompkins Square Park. And then when Prabhupada was sick in London, he had all the devotees dancing with his danda, going back and forth to come close to Prabhupada's feet. He was just such an inspiration for everyone in this movement. And we just look up to him as our dear big brother and hope that we can be with him and Prabhupada lifetime after lifetime. Hare Krishna.
Brahmananda Prabhu ki jai. Brahmananda Prabhu second Tirubhav Sisi Mahamahosav ki jai. Just before I say something, I would like to read one letter that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote to one of his disciples when he left his body. Just like our Srila Prabhupada wrote a nice letter of appreciation to Jayananda Prabhu when he left. So, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This letter is dated Sri Gauriya Math, Calcutta, July 28, 1935. I read your letter dated the 26th only yesterday morning after reaching here from Bombay. Knowing that such and such has left this world and returned to the spiritual world, we felt extremely distressed. Everything is the Lord's will. The Supreme Lord delivers His own men earlier, and we have nothing more to say about that. At the same time, our incompetence is being exposed, and it is due to our misfortune we are suffering. By remembering His service attitude, we can gradually go closer to our destination. We must elaborately write about His life in the Gaudiya magazine. An arrangement is already being made to prepare a block in some form of service. A fitting memorial in his honor should be organized. I have, so that's the letter. He gives some ideas how a devotee, when he leaves this world, should be treated and how he should be respected. Brahmananda Prabhu, as we have heard and seen, any video you watch, and the old video, even new video, you will see Brahmananda everywhere. He was all over the place. You cannot separate Prabhupada from Brahmananda Maharaj and Brahmananda from Prabhupada. They were always together. He was always following Srila Prabhupada everywhere. He took bold steps, took risks in his life to preach. He was a thoroughly dedicated and fully surrendered devotee to Krishna. He helped spread and the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. We had his association. I first met him in 1975 here in Vrindavan. He was giving class here from Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning. That time they were sitting on the floor with just one cushion. So he was giving class, that's the first time, and when I saw him with his big personality and big body, I was very amazed that even devotees from the West, they took sannyas and they are serving Srila Prabhupada and this mission. I was very impressed. And then later on, when he came and retired and stayed in Vrindavan for many years, we had so much association. He would always speak about Prabhupada. I bet he spoke more about Prabhupada than Krishna. Always, whenever he came here to this temple for Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja or for his disappearance festival or any other function, he would only speak about Prabhupada and Prabhupada. He was so much into Srila Prabhupada Katha. And we churned nectar, we relished his topics. I personally met him just before he left this world, about 6 months, 7 months before. I went to see him in his Ananda Krishna Bhavan place where he stays. And actually I went to give him this book. This is a letter book from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj that he wrote to his disciples. So I gave him this copy and I spent about 40 minutes with him. Him and Gagamuni, both of them were there, and he was showing me some nice pictures of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada and very rare photos. And he also gave me some rare CDs of Srila Prabhupada, Room Conversation, Srila Prabhupada and others discussing in Bengali. And he was very kind and appreciative when I told him about the translation that I am doing, Chaitanya Bhagavat and other books. He was appreciating. He said, "You and Pundrik, you all are doing good work, keep it up," like that. And also, I was instrumental in giving him the news about Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. When Srila Prabhupada left this world, then I stayed back. I was in Delhi at that time. I stayed back. And I called everybody all over the world. I called Rameshwar Swami in Los Angeles. He was the temple president at that time. And I gave him the news and many others like that. So when I told this story to Ramananda Prabhu in his place, he said, "Oh, that was you who called Rameshwar." And he called me immediately and said, "I just got the news that Prabhupada left his body. So thank you very much." I said, "What is there to thank? I gave you the terrible news. It's the worst news." But anyway, he said, "No, that's your service. You did a last service to Srila Prabhupada," like that. And although he was a big personality, he had a big body, and he was fully dedicated, did a lot of service and everything, but he had a wonderful sense of humor. as you all might know or may not know, actually it happened with me when I went to see him. So I was sitting by him in the sofa, and he was talking and showing pictures. Then all of a sudden he turned to me and he said, "Bhumi, how old are you?" I said, that time I was 56, now 58 or something. So I said 56. He said, "And what is your weight?" I said, 31 kilos. He said, "No, you look too skinny." I said, "Yeah, that's because I'm sitting next to you." He laughed like anything. He laughed. I said, "What a contrast. You and me, what a contrast." I said, "You know, I'm too skinny," and I didn't say the rest. He laughed like anything. He said, I wish I could give you 100 kilos from me." So, like that, I said, "Thank you, you are very kind and generous. Guru Kripa once offered 5 kilos of his fat, but you are more kind, you are offering 100 kilos. So like that, he was very jolly and very nice devotee, and we miss him, not me alone, we all of us in Vrindavan and all over the ISKCON, we miss him so much, and we pray that he bless us. There is no doubt, where is he? He is with Prabhupada, wherever Srila Prabhupada is engaged in his service. We pray to him that we can perfect our life by following in his footsteps. Brahmananda Prabhu Tirubhav Tithi Mahamahotsav Ki. Brahmananda Prabhu Ki.
Om Ajnana Timidinandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshutam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Guruve Gaura Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Vansakalpatarubhyasya Kripasindhuvayvacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisheta Sunyavati Vajjasthade Sutarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adita Gadadhara Shri Prasad Gaur Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Brahmananda Prabhu Tirubhav Tithi Ki Jai Brahmananda Prabhu Ki Jai. So actually I don't have much association with him in the beginning here because I am India. He was in all the Western country. Always he's coming along with the Prabhupada, going with the Prabhupada, walking in the Prabhupada, talking in the Prabhupada. So beginning, not much, but I see him, he's always associated with Prabhupada. So his great personality. Then after when he came to India, stay in Vrindavan, then after he become my close friend actually. He talking to me a lot, always. "Daddy, how are you? Okay. How is your life, this and that," talking about Prabhupada. He was wonderful. When Prabhupada Vyas Puja Day also, when I was reading that Mangalacharan, so he appreciated very much, he liked very much. He said, "Oh, this is real Mangalacharan, which is you have chanted that for Prabhupada." So Prabhupada liked very much, "This is good nectar. There should be always this Mangalacharan should be chanted through the ISKCON center." Dadi Bhakshi Prabhu, very nice. He was very much pleasing. Or he's giving me so much blessings for that. Always, whenever Vyas Puja Day comes here, and he tells me, "Oh, please, Mangalacharan, you please chant. That will be nice for Prabhupada. Though this real Prabhupada Mangalacharan." He encouraged me that way. always, when he was in Vrindavan, he got festival time, coordinating all the devotees. Sometimes he's taking it up. But he also put my name in the list. So I should speak, sudden days, about Prabhupada, glorification of Prabhupada, month of Kartik. So, you know, he is always very good smiling for everybody. He is a friend of all the living entities, actually. He is good smile, big, you know, face. Always he is friendly. When he was a sannyasi, also he was not crowded. He is very peacefully, very nicely he is talking. That time also, he not proud that I am sannyasi, this and that. But nowadays I see some sannyasi new generation, when I say Hare Krishna, they just pass through this way. They don't talk to me. So, but that time, the Prabhupada time, all the sannyasi is so friendly to us, so sweet. They always talk to, they meet to, they say Hare Krishna, how are you, Prabhu, each other very friendly. As Brahmananda Maharaj, always is very friendly, very talking. Even I am a small devotee that time. But he was, sometime when he was chanting, dancing, and Guru Puja, he left me. He touching my body, he putting me up for Kirtan and here in India. So, like that. So, because he tried to, you know, encourage other devotees. That means, oh, I am sannyasi, I am bigger man, this and that. So like that, but now is some different situation going on. If they don't say Hare Krishna, then I also not say Hare Krishna. What can I do? Because I like to say Hare Krishna to them. I say Hare Krishna Maharaj, just like that. So I say, okay, bye bye. What I do? So is the nature is going on this time, complete change the world. But that time Maharaj very sweet, say Hare Krishna, talking very nicely. Just like our Dharmatma Prabhu, very nice management. He's doing very, very well here. Yesterday he told me, Prabhuji, tomorrow Brahmananda Prabhu is the disciplines day. You please come to attend the programs, say some words. So, you know, this is the way to encourage the devotees, the senior devotees here. Prabhupada wanted like that way. But some devotees, they don't feel that way. But Dharmatma Prabhu, he is all senior, he respects Prabhupada's disciple. Very nice, doing good management. I like very much. I appreciate. I told to him also, I pray to Prabhupada, though you stay here forever to take care of this temple, the management, because this international society, this international temple, this management should be very sweet and pleasing. So Prabhupada, please, this place. So, and he also told me other day, Gunanabha Prabhu was talking to him, Vajidhati Bhaksa Prabhu is there, this and that, about, you know, beginning when I joined here. So, Gunanabha is just my friend also. This Prabhu, Dhananjaya Prabhu is my friend, all the old devotee, they take care of me very nicely when I was a new devotee. He said that, Gunanabha Prabhu said that to him, so tell Dadi Bhaksa Prabhu is my pranam, my dandavat. So I am coming to Kartik or the Vishaleni or myself, so we will meet him. So like this, then I told to Dharmatma Prabhu that, okay, so beginning they take care of me, now I am getting old, and 65 years old man, so now you will take care of me. He said, Prabhuji, yes, definitely we will take care of you. So this is the encourage me, I am so happy that way. So, you know, there should be like that. Then Prabhupada is very kind and malignant. Prabhupada wants to be, every devotee should be happy. So, Brahmananda Prabhu is a very special devotee with the Prabhupada. He encouraged this moment, like Devi Shakti Mataji, he told a wonderful Leela about Ajatis, Bhagavad Gita Ajatis. So, she has not put extra words. Whatever she has seen him, what you are doing, what he is actually have, so she told these words. So this is really with Prabhupada moment, he really helping. So that's, we should be like that only. To new people, new generation, we should follow the what Daivya Shakti Mataji told to tell about the Brahmananda Prabhu's pastime. So we should, new generation should see help in the Prabhupada mission, because beginning that time nobody was here, only this Brahmananda Prabhu, all these devotees, Gopal Prabhu, they are all helping Prabhupada movement. So beginning, so we should always appreciate with them, we should always respect senior devotee. So like that, so it was very special there. Our God brother, he left these planets. So I pray him to please forgive any of my offenses, give me your mercy to me, so I can able to little service to Prabhupada. Brahmananda Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.